The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right.
Hello, party people. Welcome to Laughter Permitted. I'm Julie Foudy.
I'm Lynn Ozawi.
Our guest this week is two-time World Cup champion, Alyssa Nair. And for those of you who don't know Alyssa, she is not one who loves to have the spotlight on her, nor does she love talking about herself, in which we do both. So I thoroughly enjoyed getting some time with her and finding out what makes her click.
I got major coaches vibes from Alyssa. As you know, I love talking with coaches because of the thoughtfulness. And that's what I felt so much in this conversation with Alyssa.
Alyssa is the longtime goalkeeper for the U.S. Women's National Team. She won a World Cup both in 2015 and 2019. She also won a bronze medal at the 2020 Olympics, and she currently plays in the NWSL for the Chicago Red Stars. And in talking with Alyssa, we revisit last summer's World Cup, in which the United States was eliminated in the round of 16 after, and maybe we'll put a picture of this up with the post, but that goal line technology declared by the thinnest of bloody margins that the Swedish penalty kick indeed went over the goal line, which, as you'll hear from Alyssa, she has different thoughts on that. It looked like she blocked it, yet it was called a goal upon review. And we also get into her crazy dominance lately with penalty kicks, both in taking them and in saving them. We also learn more about Alyssa and her journey, which included having to stay true to who she is. Lots of life lessons in this one. So get comfortable listening. It's Alyssa Nair. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives, and truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com.
Kick back, relax, and unwind. Let's have a good time finding the joy in life. We're smiling so bright, talking and laughing combined. Feeling all right, get comfortable listening. It's Laughter Permitted.
Thanks for doing this straight off a plane.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Good win, too.
Thank you.
I saw Miles' goal. I was like, heck yes! She's back!
She is back, and I'm loving every second of it.
I know.
I'm happy to see it.
Okay, should we do this?
Let's do it.
So the first thing, Alyssa, we always do is we set the scene with the guests. Where you're at, what you're doing, how you're doing, etc.
I am at home in Chicago, just landed road trip from Seattle. So just having a relaxing afternoon, relaxing evening, enjoying the day off. The sun is finally out in Chicago, so it's always nice to see the summertime chai right around the corner, which is what we all suffer through the winter for. So very excited to be back in Chicago for a couple weeks now. We've been so in and out, so I'm excited to just kind of sit still for a minute.
Summertime chai, is that what you call it?
Yeah, that's like the saying around here. Everyone, they say Chicago has like 12 seasons, not four.
Yeah.
So everyone gets excited for the summer.
So you have an afternoon off. What's a typical afternoon off for you besides doing a solid and doing a podcast like this?
A typical afternoon off, I would say, kind of depends a little bit on the season. If I had an afternoon off and the weather's good, like in the summer, I would, you know, hop on my bike, get out to the lake, bring a book, bring a crossword, probably stop for some coffee along the way. And then it's so like peaceful and relaxing just to sit out there and They surprisingly have like sandy beaches, even like in the middle of downtown. So it's just nice to get out there and be by the water. When the weather's kind of not so great, just enjoy walking around. Again, I'll try to find a coffee shop somewhere quiet and just kind of relocate so I'm not in my apartment all day, but
yeah,
also just kind of like hanging at home too. So like pretty chill.
Well, thanks for taking time on your afternoon off, as I said, to do a solid and do this podcast. And something that I think is unique about your job is goalkeeping is kind of an unusual position in sports. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what the origin story is for you wanting to be a goalkeeper.
I would say I loved basketball. It was probably my first love, you know, just as like a really little kid. So I liked the, you know, hand-eye coordination, that side of it. But I thought the jerseys were cool. I liked that you got to like wear the different jersey and like the gloves, and I just liked like diving around in the mud, and just it was fun for me to do all that. And I remember my dad was a high school boys soccer coach, and he had me and my sister running the lines like as the ball girls when we were like 5-6 years old. And that's how I earned my first pair of gloves, was running the lines for him instead of getting paid for it. He took me to the soccer shop, and that was like the deal we had made ahead of time. If you run the lines for, you know, a certain amount of games, you'll, you know, earn your gloves. Or so it was fun. I got to go to the soccer shop and pick out the pair that I wanted and pick out my new jersey and all that. So it was like, I just remember I wanted to wear the jersey.
I honestly had a theory that it might have had something to do with the jersey, because every youth soccer team has a moment where the coach pulls out the raggedy long sleeve jersey and is like, someone has to put this on. And you were like, I'm in.
I earned my own one. I was like, I want mine. I want to pick out my own. But no, I remember what's that kid's book? Is it Br'er Rabbit, where it's like you fake them into the punishment that you want? Yeah. And it was always like our coach, for some reason, when we were younger, everyone's like, okay, like who wants to be, whoever says like, you don't want to be in goal, I'm putting you in goal. Cause he wanted everyone to like try it. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be in goal. I can't believe it. He'd like, fine. I heard you say first, throws the dirt. And I'm like, yes. Like it worked.
You're like, got you.
Yeah.
And then what is it that you just love about it? That something sounds like early on clicked for you with this position.
I think there was like a definite shift. I went to, I still kept doing like, I was on the field and I'd be in goal. Like, cause I liked, my twin sister obviously played as well. So it was always something fun that we did together, and running around the field together was fun too. And just, you know, kind of doing all the positions, especially when you're just young. And I went to a soccer camp. I don't remember what it was called at this point, but I had signed up and I was going to do the morning of the goalkeeper session and the afternoon as a field player. And it was like our very first, I think it was like a sleepaway soccer camp. And I wish I remember the name of the coach that was there, but he gave this like rousing speech in like the first day of the camp. And he was like, we're going to work harder than all these field players. We're going to have more fun than all these field players. We're going to get down and dirty. And I just was like, it just like lit something in me. And I went to my parents. We had so much fun in that session. We're just like, I had a blast, and I walked right up to my parents after, and I said, you can just take me out of the field player session. I just want to stay in the goalkeeper part. So it was just like, I don't know, just like something about what he said of just that, like that mentality of that work and that side of it just really struck a nerve. And that was probably I still enjoyed playing on the field a little bit, I like to run around and do all that, but that was probably the shift when I like actually started training and learning how to be a goalkeeper, not just like throw your body and be athletic and try to keep the ball out. But
when they started like drilling shots at you from 5 yards out, that didn't change your love of it. I'd be like, okay, that was a fun little experiment. I'm good. Let's go back.
The first time that I was 14 and I was in a camp also, and my coach was like, kick it harder. And I broke my wrist. And I was like, didn't want to like show pain. I was like, I'm okay. And I went to my mom later. I'm like, this really hurts.
Oh.
And but it was like, it was just all part of it, I guess. It wasn't
you're
like
core. I love it.
I mean, they always say you have to be kind of like a little crazy to be a goalkeeper, I guess. But
that's
what they say. That's what
they
said.
That I didn't know that at all. I was telling Lynn. I'm like, Alyssa is not your normal goalkeeper. She's like steady and calm.
Yeah.
And so very normal in the best of ways. And usually they're a little crazy in a good way.
Yeah. For me, I would say like, I would attribute that a lot to like, I grew up playing basketball all the way through high school as well. And I was a point guard. So I think that like, it's very two different types of positions. Like the point guard in basketball is meant to be like the steady, the calm, the drive it. So I think that just kind of, my two worlds always meshed, and
okay.
So I kind of just created my own little version of it.
So yeah, because I was gonna say like that mentality. Where did it come from? The steady, the calmness. Okay, you think it's from your point guard position, huh?
That's interesting. I would attribute it a little bit. Yeah.
What about being able to see the field and see plays unfold? Because that certainly is a point guard attribute.
Yeah.
So I was watching highlights of yours, and it's like, how do you even see the ball and where it's going?
Yeah.
I'm thinking vision is actually a parallel between being a point guard and perhaps being a goalkeeper.
For sure. I think, and that's where like, I'm such a huge advocate for, I hate that kids now have to choose like just one sport so early on, because I think for me playing so many other sports and specifically competitively basketball and other things has helped me, and I wouldn't be like the goalkeeper, the soccer player that I am right now, if I hadn't have played basketball for 15 years, if I hadn't had learned that vision. But I think I'm like being in a background person anyway. I realize even like, I always sit in the background meetings. I sit in like the back of like cars. I like keeping everything in front of me. And I was like, someone was giving me a hard time. Like, oh, all the, you know, kids who sit in the back. And I was like, I promise. I was like a straight A student. Like I got good grades. Like I just always liked being in the back. I like being able to see everything.
That's interesting.
I have another theory I'm going to throw out there. That you would be a person that a friend would call if they need to move a couch.
That is accurate. That has happened many times.
And the reason I say that is in watching you in goal, it seems like you are the ultimate of, I got you, I got your back. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something that I've always wanted to be, that teammate, that goalkeeper that you can look behind you and know that I've got you. Like it's, we all like, you're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes, but I got you. And I think it's that camaraderie, that belief in amongst a team. And that's something that, and you know, you sit back, you talk about legacy and the type of person you want to be remembered for, the type of player. And for me, that's always been a huge part of it. And I think I've realized and learned early on, like I have very high standards for myself and for my teams and everyone around me. But in order to have high standards, you also then need to like praise people when they do the right thing and be just as like energetic and energized and giving that positive reinforcement, because then it actually allows you to give that like, hey, we need more from you. We need better from you. Because that now they at least know that.
Yeah.
I have their best interest in mind. I know that they know that I do have their back.
Right. And then you can give the hard stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure.
They know that.
Exactly.
What is it? Because lately, I mean, Alyssa, you've just been playing out of your mind, as we know. I mean, you go back to, and let's just go with the penalty kicks. I mean, you go back to the Gold Cup, which was last month, and you save 3 penalty kicks, you make one, right, to get the United States through against Canada in that semifinal.
Yeah.
You go to the She Believes Cup, you save 3 penalty kicks, or maybe 4, you make one to get them through and winning it. And then, I mean, we could go back further into the 2019 World Cup, but what is going on? Some have suggested it, you know, it was the PK in the Sweden shootout that changed you at a molecular level.
I did hear someone say that. I don't know that it's that. I don't know that it necessarily changed me. And I mean, that is a game and a moment that truthfully I'll never fully get over. I don't think you get over games like that. You obviously learn to move on and grow from it, but it's moments like that that certainly stick with you. But even, you know, it's interesting because it's, yeah, I've heard people say that, like, my preparation of mentality hasn't really changed much since being in that moment. I mean, I think whether it was 2019 or even the Netherlands and the Olympics and that shootout, and obviously then in against Sweden, my mentality is like just one kick at a time. It's like it feels too big when you look at it.
Yeah.
Like as the whole shootout. And I think that it's one kick, and they always say, like, hey, try to make one. That's the responsibility of a goalkeeper. Try to make one, give your team a chance, and anything else is extra. So, but it's a lot of preparation. It's a lot of
first thing is the context of that game. It's the Sweden game in the World Cup. Uh-huh. I was referencing Lena Hurtig is mm-hmm. on the line. I'm sorry to take you back to this.
It's okay.
But it's round of 16
in
penalty kicks. It's all, and she has to make it for Sweden mm-hmm. to win. You make the save. You think it's been saved. It was close. And goal line technology said, mm-hmm. even though mm-hmm. it is really close, that it was indeed by, you know, even a fraction of a millimeter, a goal. And that's how Sweden won that mm-hmm. that game. But when you say you do the preparation ahead of time, mm-hmm. do you know which way every player is going and their tendencies? Or do you just read them in that moment and the way their hips are opening or the way they're sizing up the goal?
I think every goalkeeper has a different technique a little bit. I think that, you know, Nick Raimondo obviously was a very good penalty kick saving goalkeeper. He's written actually articles and things about his style, and we've studied that before. There's all sorts of crazy statistics of right-footed to left-footed to types of players, to how they place the ball, to where they step, to where they do, where their hand positions are. Like, there's so many different theories. It's interesting because some of the things don't correlate male to female. Some things actually ring very opposite in the comparing the two. But I think it's the preparation that gets done, the preparation that goes into it is also that in the moment you're letting instincts take over. Like, you've done your homework, you've done all the research, you've done all of that, and it's, you want to be able to not think in those at that time.
Huh.
Oh my gosh, Julie, you would have made an incredible goalkeeper.
I love that. That is how I roll in everything.
Just react.
Just react.
Yeah, what are you reading? And are you sending vibes to the shooter? Like, you're not going to get past me?
Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone's got their own thing. You see some goalkeepers smack onto the post and they start doing dances and different things. I'm obviously more the just kind of stand there and get ready, and almost like a standoff of sorts. But it's interesting now as you start to, you know, go against so many different players. I mean, you've got a player like a Lindsey Horan. She's taken now however many penalty kicks. It's like such a, even, you know, with Dree stepping up now in Canada, going back to back, Jesse Fleming, you know, these players take them so regularly with club teams, with national teams, and they're so good at it. So it's like it's like this, almost like a game of chicken meets a standoff of, are you going to go where you think I'm going to go? Right. Am I going to go opposite? Because I think you think that I know where you're going to go. And it's like, just, it's very like,
I think that you think that I think.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, if she thinks that I think this, then maybe I'll do that, because she won't think that.
Do you let yourself go there before someone's stepping up? Because I always think that, like, if they've just taken one, you're like, oh shoot, are they going the same? Are they going to change it?
Yeah.
And they're thinking, are you changing it if I'm changing it?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some thought of that. But it's, again, try to take a few deep breaths and like zone out as best I can and just react.
I love how you also take a penalty kick and then you just so matter-of-factly, with no emotion, Lynn, she's already saved like three penalty kicks, right? And then she just walks straight out to the penalty spot, puts her head down,
and waits. It's the most baller move ever.
Yeah, and waits and is like, yeah, I'm here. She waits on the goalkeeper. Let's go. She's got this like total like badass little stance there. And then she just walks up every time, hits it straight in, and then walks straight back.
I know.
Literally,
they keep...
I'll be up in the booth cracking up. I'm like, oh my God, I love her so much.
Well, they get mad at me, but like we talk all the time about like the power of like the celebration and like the team part of it. And it's like, no, you're supposed to celebrate when you score. Like that's what they tell all the players. And they're like, listen, you're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm like,
you're like, I gotta lock in, man.
I was like, but I still have a job to do. Yeah, like my job's not done. Like I still, like,
no.
I don't get to like, it's the celebration. And they're like, I did my job. I'm like, yeah, I still have to keep going. Like,
wouldn't that be so weird if you ran back to the team, like celebrated and then had to come all the way back to the goal line? You can't celebrate. You're like, I am locked in.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Locked in, ready to go.
It sounds so pressure filled. How do you deal with that pressure?
I've always been someone very driven by my faith and fall back on my faith and through different, like, honestly, like always like pregame prayers or halftime prayers or even walking onto the field prayers of just, honestly, just for peace of just like being covered in peace of just, you know, it's really easy to let your mind start to wonder like, okay, she's really good. Like I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And it's like always trying to come back to like, no, I have a great team in front of me. I'm not here by myself. I've got people who have my back. And I'm prepared. And I think that's why my mentality, my focus is so driven on the preparation because it's always just what I tell me, like, you're ready. You've trained for this. And it's just being able to hone in on that, like on that piece.
That is so beautiful.
I think too, like you've been so steady for so long that you were underrated because you were so steady, because you were so understated in, I think, a really good way. But it's, I'm loving that you've always been underrated and you've always overperformed and now you're getting the props for it, which I love. Because you deserve every bit of that. And I mean, and beyond, the accolades, I crowned you, I think, after the last one, Queen Nair of, with that last game. But the fact that, like, even with your jersey, like, the NWSL hadn't ever put out a goalkeeper jersey. And no surprise, yours sells out in 3 hours. I'm like, hell yes.
Yeah.
And just for you to see that in a very visceral way, I hope you can feel it.
I do.
Do you feel that? Do you feel that love?
Yeah, I do. I think it's been great. That's something that, like, I actually enjoy being the background person. I enjoy being obviously a bit more of a quiet demeanor. And I think that's something that is, I love that through teams and through different types of, there's so many different types of players that make up a team. And you have the Megan Rapinos of the world that are the very, take on a lot. But them being the more outgoing, them being those big personalities allow me to actually be exactly who I am and who I want to be. And I think that it's so great for kids to see there's not just one way of doing anything. You can have plenty of goalkeepers who are, the loud, the fist pumping, the chest pumping, like different that. And that totally works and that's amazing. But then you can also have, you can be the quieter, you can be the more reserved, you can be the more, and that's okay too. And I think that there's no one set. I mean, Ashlyn and I played together for years. We're two very different people, And I think we both found our own success. And I think that that's what I think is cool with, you look at a jersey and different things and I hope that I can like speak to that kid that, and I was told since I was 14 years old, my biggest knock and my biggest criticism was you don't have the personality to be a professional goalkeeper. You don't have the personality to be a US number one. That's what I've been told since I was at 14, at 20, at 23, at every different.
I was so like, coaches told me that to you?
Yeah.
And I was would they say that you needed more fire? You needed to be more outgoing?
I don't know if it was they needed more, but it was like, you don't have the personality to be number one. I actually got And I was like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I've always been someone, right, like, you tell me what, like, hey, your kicking's not good enough. Okay, I'll go strike 100 balls. I can get better at my, right, left foot. I can get better at my distribution. Like, hey, you need to be able to do 15 pull-ups. Then you'll make the team. Great. I'll go figure out how to do 15 pull-ups if that's what you're telling me it's going to take. I'm like, don't really know how to change my personality. And I think that for me is like, now that I've gotten to this point in my career, I've had different levels of success and been around for a long time, and the longevity of it, like, I think that's what I'm most proud of, is just be able to, I've stayed true to myself the whole time and never have veered from that. And I think that I've always felt so much love and support and respect from my teammates. And I feel like I've earned that at different points along the way of just in training, in competitions and different things. And I've always felt their support, and it's cool now to kind of have that expanded support.
Mm, I love that. And I think as well that you need that in a team.
Yeah.
You can't have, we used to argue, you can't have, you know, 20 Loudy Fouties and Abby Wambach on a team, right? Or Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah.
That would drive people crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you need that balance of, you were much more like a Mia,
yeah,
you know, of my era, mm-hmm, in terms of that cerebral, quieter, mm-hmm, presence that was calming,
yeah,
in so many senses. And so, or as Becky Sauerbrunn said on our podcast, you know, your floor raisers and,
yeah,
your ceiling busters, and,
yeah,
the importance of having both, which,
for sure,
yeah, I think is vital to a team's success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Speaking of team success, this women's national team, the new iteration of it,
yeah,
post-World Cup with, you know, Twyla and now Emma,
mm-hmm,
Twyla Kilgore, the interim coach, and Emma Hayes, the incoming coach who will take over for these next set of games in June. How would you best describe this, I don't know if I put it in air quotes, new, it's very new in terms, mm-hmm, of players and shifting and transition, but this new U.S. women's national team?
I think it's exciting. There's such a talented crop and group of young players. They've brought in such an energy, a new energy, a different energy of just, I mean, heck, they're 20 years old, they're 21 years old, like, just like, but it's been fun to kind
of, a lot of TikToks.
There's
I
a
bet.
Lot of TikTok. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I've never been on TikTok a day in my life. I'm like, all of a sudden I see people doing these.
What is
dance.
All this dancing?
I don't know. I was giving one of my teammates, and we were even walking down Seattle in the market the other day, and I see one of my rookie teammates off to the side. She's just like doing this little, and I'm like, oh, look at her. She's just, you know, grooving to the beat of her own drum. And then she moved a little bit more, and I see her phone's like propped up, and I'm like, this girl is just over there by herself, in the middle of an alley, just like doing a TikTok. It's like, to each their own. I'm like, that's not the world that I live in, but it's so funny to watch.
I know, you're at the lake doing crosswords.
And people have like phones
reading my book.
Yeah.
I was like, yay, people still read books.
Yeah.
Yay.
But, I love it.
Yeah. But it, I mean, they have fun with it. So it's, you know, they enjoy it. But no, it's awesome. I think they just bring in energy. And I think that's it's been fun to be a part of this transition. And to do it with, you know, Becky and Alex and Crystal and Lynn and, you know, different players that have been around for so long, that we can still help like educate and guide of like, okay, these are still the standards of what we got taught, what we learned when we came in. And even I was talking to, you guys had come to practice in Atlanta. I was talking to Kat and Lil for a little bit about just, you know, we've tried to interject some of these like old school stories of like the brutal January camps that we used to go to and just what the DNA of the women's national team is from what you guys turned started it as and even before you, and then what you passed on, and then now it's there's always different pieces of like the DNA that have to continue, and then there's going to be these different iterations and added to and finding other things to go back on. But it's been really fun to kind of blend that, hey, this is who we have always been, this is who we still are, but now we can add also, what do you guys bring? What's the new? What can help us now get to the next level?
Yeah. There does feel like a freedom and a creativity that was, you know, maybe lacking before with this younger group.
And yeah.
That's fun to see because it's translating
for sure.
The field right now too.
For sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Time for the Lynn game.
Alyssa, competition time.
Okay.
You stop goals, you score goals, and now it's time to see if you can beat Julie in a game of trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You think you can stop PKs? You cannot stop me in trivia.
Is that a little London toll booth or phone booth?
Yeah, that's my normal one. It's me, British phone booth.
Alyssa, what is your noisemaker? And this is what you'll use to chime in when you think you know the answer to the trivia question.
I have my keys.
Boom. Loud and proud.
Yeah,
so here are the rules. Here are the rules. Okay. It's going to be five trivia questions, all multiple choice. When you think you know the answer, you can chime in.
Okay.
Every game has a theme, and I'm going to keep rolling with this. Every soccer player we've had on this season, I've gone with a Ted Lasso-themed game.
Oh, okay. God. I've done so well on them. I should have known. I should have just watched more Ted Lassos.
I think you might have beaten Allie Krieger on it, and the reason why is because she didn't watch Ted Lasso.
She pretended
Allie,
like she had.
On.
I know. We were like, Kriegs, what are you doing? Let's go.
Too good.
Get a life, Kriegs. Get a life and watch it.
Right.
Have you watched it, Alyssa?
I have watched it. Yes, I enjoy it.
So I've done quite a few Ted Lasso games. So at this point, it's really deep cuts. Just a heads up.
Okay.
So just, you know, again, all multiple
it's
choice.
It's really deep.
The title of this game is Two Aces. And to anyone who gets that reference, high five. All right. Are you ready to roll? Is everyone ready to
I'm
go?
I'm ready.
Okay. Question one. Ted has a jar of what open on his kitchen counter in case he wants some of this? Is it A, pickles, B, peanut butter, or C, barbecue sauce? Julie.
B, peanut butter.
Correct.
I was definitely going to say barbecue sauce anyway.
Question
I like
two.
I have a chance.
What is AFC Richmond's team therapist's name?
Oh,
is it A, Dr. Janice, B, Dr. Sharon, or C,
B,
Julie?
Dr. Sharon.
Correct. Oh,
oh,
boy.
I'm crushing today. This never happens. Okay, but Alyssa, let me tell you. I went ahead last time. I got all confident at 2-0. Who was this?
Cole Brower. Oh, Sailor we
I
have.
I got all confident, and then she came back and crushed me.
Uh-oh. Okay, so I'm still in it. Still in it.
Question three.
I'm not going to get soft.
What soccer player is on a poster in Jamie Tartt's childhood room? Is it A, Roy Kent, B, Pele, or C, David Beckham? Alyssa.
Roy Kent.
Correct.
Oh, I was going to say David. Good one.
All right,
oh,
two to
one. It's already starting again. I'm going to lose it. God bless it.
Question four. What kind of club does Coach Beard participate in? Is it A, bridge club, B, book club, or C, chess club? Alyssa.
Chess.
Correct.
Oh, shoot.
Julie, did you not know that?
I said it again. I know
right. I was going to say book. I couldn't decide if it was book or chess. Oh, my God. If this happens again, I really have locked in on these last two. I am going to be so upset.
Is this the last question?
This is the last one. This is for everything. We're going into it. Oh, it's a, oh my gosh. It's like a penalty shootout. It's 2-2. Oh my gosh.
I'm really screwed because it's Alyssa. In goal.
Question 5.
Okay.
What is Nate's favorite restaurant?
Oh.
Is it A Taste of Athens? B Kebab Castle?
Oh, it's A Taste of Athens!
Correct.
Oh. I didn't even want to risk it. I couldn't wait for C. I was like, I gotta get in.
For what it's worth, Julie, Alyssa, really needed that one.
I really did, yeah. And I appreciate
it. Honestly, like the wheels were spinning. I was like, it's got to be wheels. It's got to be Taste of Athens. But I couldn't pull the trigger.
Oh, thank the Lord. Honestly, I have been like, oh, for whatever this season is. I was like, wow, I needed that. And Alyssa, I knew you were tough to beat.
It's a tough loss.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Okay. All right. I feel
now have to live with that for the rest of the day. I hate losing. It's like losing 5v5. It just sits with you, you know?
I used to have tears after 5v5 all the time.
What's 5v5?
Oh, just like pick up games at practice when you play small-sided games, and then like
they always get very competitive. It like brings out the most competitiveness like in you. I don't know, like people, if flip gets or a switch gets flipped, and it's just like Jekyll and Hyde with everybody.
And then you come back to your roommates if you win, and your roommates didn't. You're you have to like tiptoe around the house.
Yeah,
you can't it's like, be doing it is. Stuff.
It's brutal. It like ruins your whole day if you lose.
So that tradition clearly has carried on through the generations.
I actually remember watching it. I was at my very first U16 camp. I was out at the Home Depot Center because it will always be the Home Depot Center to me.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We got to watch your guys' training.
Oh, no way.
Like, we finished our training, and they like brought us up to watch like the end of your guys' training. And you guys were doing a 5v5 tournament, and it was so intense, and it was so insane. It was just watching all the different personalities of the people, me and my little 15-year-old self, and we were all just like, like, this is so cool.
Lil and I used to get in the biggest fights.
And yeah, I think you guys were actually having a fight.
And were we? I'd call it out. She'd be like, that's not out. I'd be like, it's out. Yeah. And I'd stop playing and she'd keep going. And then I'd kick the ball at her and I'd be like, it out.
Yeah. Yep. It sounds accurate.
I think that happens. Then we laugh after.
Yeah. And then you go get coffee and everything's fine. Yeah. It's great.
As long as she laughed after, it's fine.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, we were competitive. Yeah. All right. Most pressing questions.
All right. I'm ready.
Alyssa, I'm really curious to hear what your morning routine is.
Morning routine. I am a pretty early riser. I wake up, make some coffee. I like to make a fresh hot cup in the morning. I'll change it up. Sometimes a pour over, sometimes a French press, just kind of whatever. Depending on how long my morning is, if I need a couple cups. But I have like a little morning devotional that I sit and I read in the morning just for a quick 5-10 minutes to before I get on my phone, before I turn on anything, and just kind of enjoy some quiet time with my coffee. And then I watch Good Morning America and kind of just putz around the house and get some stuff done and then get off to practice.
Robin Roberts will love that.
And I'll throw in, if I've got time, I'll throw in, I've got like a little, when the weather's nice, I've got my balcony. So I'll sit out there with my second cup to do a crossword, or I've got like a little reading nook in my corner when it's cold. So
what's your cutoff?
Two? Of like
coffee.
Yeah, I try to have two because I usually then have like an afternoon. I'll try to get like a cold brew once it's like to either go to practice or after practice. So
yeah,
but we don't train till 1. So it's like not.
Oh,
like,
that's nice.
Such like a, yeah, it's a weird training time.
Mine's a bladder thing. I have to tinkle. Do you have to tinkle? I mean, if I have two, forget it. I'm just tinkling all day. It's not good.
Yeah.
That's maybe way too much information for you, Alyssa, but
fun. We're getting closer today. Yeah. Everything's great.
Okay. I know, as you were discussing, that you were a total baller, basketballer mm-hmm. in your previous life. So I want to know, can you hit a logo three?
I can hit a logo three.
Oh, shut up. She can. Caitlin Clark, I can. Look out.
I've not done it for a while, but yeah. I can hit a logo three.
You can hit a logo three? You didn't even hesitate on that. It wasn't like, yeah, maybe. You were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... I'd have
He hits it significantly more consistently. Like, I can make it, but I couldn't say that I would be able to make it as consistently as... I mean, she just pulls up like it's a shot from the tee. And you're just like... It's like automatic. I'm like... So, yes, like, I can make it, but I can't say that I'm... Yeah. I'm driving up and I'm just stopping at the logo just to shoot a three.
Well, if you were shooting it like that and you chose soccer over basketball, I'd be like, what were you thinking?
Fair question.
Yeah. What were you thinking watching that whole March Madness and the women's tournament play out?
It was awesome. It was fun. It was fun to watch. It was obviously from Connecticut. I grew up a huge UConn fan. So I still am a big UConn fan. Love watching them. Obviously, they've been so dominant for so long. So it was great to see Paige Beckers back in and healthy this year. But it was just such an amazing group of teams and players and individual players and coaches all getting into it. Like, it was just awesome. Obviously, the buzz around it, the energy around it, just viewership and intent. Like, it was just so cool to watch just how enraptured the country was with the tournament. It was awesome.
Yeah, so much fun. Okay, high, low, cheer. The high of your career, the low of your career, and the cheer is for someone you're grateful for.
High in my career was winning the World Cup, the 2019 World Cup, I'd say was definitely a high. Because it was like in that moment was like, almost like a Black Mirror moment, if you could just like snap your fingers and you see just like your whole career to that point of like the little moments along the way that just like got there. It was like that. It was that feeling on like walking around the field at the end. And I think so that was a very special moment with a very special team. Low moment. Probably the 2023 World Cup. Honestly, I think I think I think a little part of my piece of my heart is like still on that field over that's just, it's such a brutal way to end. You hate to lose anyway. And losing is always hard, but to lose with like such a slow, like a slim margin. And I feel like it was also like we were just getting started. I felt like we hadn't really like seen the potential and captured the potential of what that team was. So to go out that early and in that way was the definition of heartbreak. I think what was the one? The cheer?
Yeah, the cheer.
Someone I'm grateful for. I would say Lauren Holiday. I think she's been someone for me that has been like such a steady presence and a friend in my life. We were rookies together in Boston way back when. And
I forgot about that.
You know, so all through the national team and just different, like we've always had very similar, you know, similar values, similar beliefs, similar. So just to learn from her, and she, even by the time that I was playing with her, as a rookie, she had already been with the national team since she was like 18. So it felt like she still was like almost so much older than me in some ways. Yeah. So I felt like even though we were coming into the professional world at the same time, I felt like she taught me so much and I learned so much from her. And she's just still throughout the whole, you know, 15 years, even though, you know, we stopped being teammates 10 years ago at this point, she just has still been... I'll get a text all the time of just a word of encouragement or just like proud of you or just anything. And I think just to have, you know, a friend like that through this whole time is I'm very grateful for her. Mm.
Oh, that's so good. You didn't even hesitate on that. It was like on holiday.
Yeah.
Such good people.
Have you helped her move a couch?
Yeah. I have helped her move a couch, yes. No, I used to drive her around all our rookie year because she didn't have a car. So my host family was like much further away and her host family was close, but she didn't have a car. So I was like, okay, here's the deal. I'll drive you home, but I get to sleep on your couch when I don't want to go all the way back to the hour and a half that my host family was away. So it was a good trade.
Oh, good peeps. Good peeps.
Yes. Yeah, she's one of the best.
Alyssa, you are one of the best, my friends. Thank you for taking the time. You're just so grounded and real and salt of the earth. And I so appreciate you for that because there's not enough like you, honestly. I feel like so much of life is performative nowadays. And you have none of that vibe in you at all. It's all just salt of the earth real. And I just love that you're getting the recognition you clearly deserve. So,
thank you. You appreciate that. It means a lot.
Julie, I just want to go on record as saying, if I needed help moving my couch, I know 100% you would be there for me.
Thank you. Thank you for that belief in me. I'm not sure I have that full belief in myself, but thank you for that. I would be there. Of course I would.
You would be there for me.
And I would bring Declan, my 15-year-old.
Bring some muscle.
Tank. Yeah.
What is your takeaway?
The thing that's stuck with me since we chatted is that she was told she didn't have it. I'm like, wait, what? I'm still thinking about that. I'm like, she didn't have it. In one, who would tell a player that you're coaching, if you're coaching her, that she doesn't have it?
Well, and the personality, that she doesn't have the personality.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, that has bugged me. And so the thing that I kept reflecting on is, because there are those people in life, as we know, that will tell you these silly things. And her ability to not change to something that she wasn't and to stay true to who she was and stay in that lane, she really was like, no, I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be just fine where I am. I'm gonna keep doing my thing. I'm gonna grind it out. I'm gonna put in the work. And look at where it's led her. She is just crushing it right now. So I love to hear that.
Yeah, I think that's arguably the most remarkable part of her story, was that she stayed true to herself. Alyssa stayed true to herself. Honestly, I think we could have spent an entire hour just talking about that and diving into that. And the fact that now she wants to spread the message to young players. So that was incredible. And then what has stuck with me as well, because that personality part, I'm with you, that stuck with me. The other thing that Alyssa talked about was how she feels peace in the midst of pressure. And she talked about how she gets to that feeling, and listening to that was so cool. That was really cool to hear.
Yep. Pressure is a privilege.
But that I've not heard of someone describe it as peace, that they go to peace in that moment, and that it actually requires work ahead of time to get there. Kind of like mind, body, spirit.
You know what it kind of reminded me of is Courtney Dewalter with her pain cave. It wasn't pressure per se, but it was that when she got to this point of like, oh crap, here comes the pain cave, and before she had, you know, kind of worried about getting into the pain cave, and then she came to peace with it, and then she made it not just came to peace with it, she made it a party, as she talked about the pain cave. And that's what it reminded me a little bit of the mental side of dealing with that and putting in that work and how important that is. It was cool.
Yeah. Before I go to questions permitted, I think I'm going to officially retire the Ted Lasso Lynn game. I feel like it's run its course. You can go out with the win.
I would agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to let everyone know, like, I'm good. Like, I got it out of my system. We're good. Okay, questions permitted. This is an email, and it says, "Hi, Julie and Lynn. Just wanted to bring to your attention, the stadium announcer at Bay FC home games sounds exactly like Julie. I'm a season ticket holder, and I pointed this out to those seated around me, and everyone was amazed and wondering how Angel City FC feels about your new gig. Love your show, Janine Dryden."
Oh, Janine. It's a plant! There's one, and I have to meet her. I apologize. I don't know, remember her name right now. There's also someone at Angel City Games that everyone says sounds just like me. So clearly, there are multiple voices out there that are annoying, like mine. I'm always like, oh, I'm sorry that you have to hear that.
Okay, this email cracked me up, and one of the reasons why is that at the Final Four, my friend Christina was like, the PA announcer sounds like Julie.
Oh my God, I sound like every PA announcer. That's so weird. So there's three of me out there.
What I'm wondering is this...
I wonder if it's the same person that she wouldn't do Angel City and Bay FC. That should not be allowed, and if she did...
I'm wondering if this is a side gig that you haven't told anyone about. Are you just going across the country announcing games? No.
Well, here's the thing. It's clearly evident if you ever sit in section C at an Angel City game that I am not on the PA because I have my beer in hand and I'm very loud and I'm very rowdy. Because I don't get to do that at games. So it's my chance to be like, yeah, let's go, Section C. I start the wave. I haven't done that this year. I'm going to get on that. Anyways.
Well, hey, if this whole broadcasting career just doesn't pan out, you now know that PA announcing is something you can turn to.
Oh, I knew that because I do it for Izzy's high school team. And let me tell you, go Stallions.
Wait, what?
In goal, number one. Oh, yeah. I do her high school games.
Yeah. You're blowing my mind. This is what I'm like. That's
number
what I'm saying.
22.
This is a side gig number you haven't 20, told anyone about.
Number 22, Isabel Sawyers. She's like, Mom, if you do it like that, I don't know if I could talk to you again. Like, why not?
When did this start? Was it this season?
Yeah, this season.
Did they ask you? Did you volunteer?
Get there on time? Yeah, they asked me, can you do the games? I was like, heck yeah. I can't like commentate the games. I just announce like goals, and I have to keep charge of the scoreboard. I do it all, Lynn. It's stressful. I'm in there with the scoreboard. I keep the clock.
Wait, what? I had no idea this is going on.
I gotta pay attention. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you getting paid for this?
No, but I should be. It's so stressful. Literally, I forgot to put that we got a goal, and the whole boys soccer team started chanting, scoreboard, scoreboard. I was like, my bad, boys.
Wait, you're in charge of the scoreboard?
Yeah. I mean, It's high pressure. It's a lot. It's like I get more stressed doing the scoreboard than I do live television. They're like, I'm like, Declan, Ian sits up there with me. My husband sits up there with me. And he messes with me the whole time. He's like, your timing is off. I'm like, stop it. Yeah. It's high pressure.
Well, do what Alyssa does. Just find your peace.
Peace. I'm finding my peace in the pressure of the scoreboard until the boys start chanting at me. Okay,
that,
Janine.
I think, is one of the best stories I've heard you tell on this podcast. That was fantastic. And thank you, Janine, for writing in so that we could finally get to the bottom of this, that yes, Julie actually is doing PA announcing.
With that, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, Ally, for their unwavering support, and to Kate Diaz for our theme music, and to you. Yes, you listening right now. Thank you for being part of this merry village of dopeness. Lynn and I are very glad you're here and that we get to hang out with so many baller village people. Village people is not a bad secondary name. It's fun to say it's the YMCA. It's fun to say the YMCA. And as always, kids, remember, sing it with us.
Laughter permitted.
I can hit a logo 3.